We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, time for this week in Philly sports history, brought to you by Shive Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Check out their Rocky collection. Well, that kind of fits the theme. And plenty of great gift ideas at ShibeSports.com or their Center City location. All right, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to this. It was 46 years ago tomorrow that the movie Rocky came out for release, November 21st, 1976. And before we get into why we think Rocky is such a great movie, I kind of want to get, because you and I are both old enough to remember when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are both old enough that the first time we saw it in a theater, which is not what most of our audience experienced.
Right.
My recollection is I was a freshman at college at the time. And my recollection was that it was a movie that came out without a whole lot of fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw it at like a multiplex. I looked like, here's four movies. Like, yeah, a boxing movie. I don't know this Stallone guy, but okay, I'll check out a boxing movie. And it was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was this revelation of, you had no expectation going in. You didn't know what it was going to be. And oh my God, this is great. Tell me about the first time you saw Rocky.
I saw it in Chicago.
Okay.
I was on the road. On an assignment for the newspaper. I was working at the Philadelphia Bulletin then, and I went to see it, and it was very kind of odd for me, a native Philadelphian, to see a movie that is so Philadelphia somewhere far away in a theater, and the theater was very full. The theater was really full, but with a whole bunch of people from Chicago. And I remember I was having a conversation with the guy who was sitting next to me. And during the film, I kept nudging him and probably annoying him, but pointing to things and saying, hey, you know, this is really in Philadelphia. And, you know, that place, see where he's running? That's called the Italian Market. I mean, I kind of wanted to share all that Philly stuff,
yeah.
But I wasn't in Philly. I mean, but for somebody who's from here, the identification factor of it was so strong,
yeah,
that to actually see it somewhere far from home was kind of a weird experience.
Yeah. It's Philadelphia so weaved into that movie. And again, people who live here may, I don't know about take it for granted, but I didn't know a lot about Philly before I saw it. And one of the things I enjoyed when I moved to Philly was like, oh man, this is the steps that he ran up. Oh, this is the Italian Market,
mm-hmm.
where he did the thing. And seeing all of, learning Philadelphia through having seen that movie, this is what I remember about the movie. And it was a pretty good crowd in the theater. And people are getting excited into the movie, and then comes the boxing scene, the 25-minute scene at the end, the fight with Apollo Creed. And by the second round, people in a movie theater are jumping out of their seats and punching the air and getting excited. When late in the fight, when Rocky hits him in the ribs,
mm-hmm.
right, and it looks like Apollo can't continue, it's like they are at the fight cheering it on. They are so caught up in the moment.
Right.
There are very few movies that I was at where the audience became a huge part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that one maybe above all. Exorcist was kind of like that, because people just got like so creeped out.
Right.
You know, there was a guy like fainted in a few rows ahead of me. But this movie, it was so great in that way. We judged it when we wrote The Ultimate Book of Sports Movie. I don't know how many years ago now, 12 years ago. We judged it as the best sports movie ever.
Right.
Certainly nothing has changed that. And I looked at our book the other day, and these are the criterion we use. So let me, we basically, when we were judging, because we did 1 through 100.
Yes.
And we didn't disagree a whole lot.
No, not very little, actually.
And we considered three movies for the all-time best sports movie. This one, Hoosiers, and Raging Bull.
Yes, those were the three that we were considering as number one, yes.
And here's the criterion we used. I'll tell you the criterion. You tell me, like, why this was good at it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, simply powerful story, challenges and surprises, triumphs and setbacks.
Yeah. I mean, most of the sports movies, practically all of them, are sort of somewhat formulaic in that it's always the underdog. No one gives him a chance, whether it's an individual or a team. But through the strength of his character and the strength of his will, he overachieves and triumphs. And, you know, all these movies have told that story, but I don't think any of them told it as well as Rocky did.
Yeah. I think Rocky kind of set the – it didn't invent the template for underdog movie, but it sort of set it for the next 25
yep.
years.
No doubt.
Okay. And by the way, one of the great aspects – I hope I'm not – it's not a spoiler for people. He doesn't win the fight.
Right, he does not win.
Which is one of the things that makes it so brilliant.
I think that's the genius of it, is yeah. that he doesn't win.
Okay. Number two, three-dimensional characters, heroes, and bums.
Well, you know, Rocky's certainly as a compelling character, because especially if you're from Philadelphia, we all know somebody like that. And everybody in their family has a Paulie.
Paul, the row home loser.
Yeah, I mean, come on, I grew up with
you. Want the turkey? Go out and yell and eat the turkey.
I'm from Southwest Philadelphia. I mean, you got a Paulie on every corner. So I mean, I all those characters, they resonated with me for sure. And then
Mick, the manager.
Yeah, and, you know, anybody that's been around the fight game, you've seen that guy too. So all the characters were very real and very well drawn and extremely well acted, by the way, on the part of the actors. But what really kind of makes it is Stallone's marvelous depiction of basically Muhammad Ali as Apollo Creed. I mean, that creation, that guy, that name, that look, his whole image.
Carl Weathers, ex-NFL player.
Is great. I mean, Carl Weathers plays it to the absolute hilt. Very
okay.
clever. You know, very smart, orchestrates the whole thing. I'm going to pick the guy out of Ring Magazine. You know, I'm going to come into the ring dressed as George Washington. All of that stuff, all of that fanfare, all of that showmanship was very much a part of Ali, too.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot to play the cut going in to introduce this thing. Well, better late than never. Here's why we chose Rocky.
You lay off that pet shop game. Women, we can lay.
He doesn't know it's a damn show. It's a damn fight. Finish this bum and let's go home.
I can't see nothing. Got to open my eye. Come here,
bitch. I don't want to do it.
Oh, come
here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I could have played. By the way, there's like a 5-minute reel of this.
Right.
I could have played the whole 5 minutes.
Sure.
And you would know every quote and love every quote. All right. The next thing that a movie has to have is top flight sports action. Right. If we're going to like it as a sports movie, it's got to have it. There's some movies we have in the book that are very good sports movies. But the action in Bobby Fischer is not exactly great sports action.
No, it's chess.
Yeah, right. But it's in the book.
Right.
That 25-minute fight has you fainting and cheering, and we talked about watching in a theater when Rocky floors him, or when Rocky goes down, and it's like, don't get up, and you're going, get up, right? It compels you.
You're right.
All right, number four, goosebumps. We wrote, shivers down your back or a lump in your throat. Does Rocky create that?
Oh, absolutely. Multiple times. And I think one of the great aspects of it is that it's a boxing movie, but it's just a lovely love story between these two sort of losers. You know, Rocky is in his own way, and Adrian is this person that everybody kind of walks by on the street and never takes a second look at. She works in a pet store. And,
yeah.
You know.
With those glasses.
Yeah, yeah, with the bad glasses. And, you know. The,
remember
these,
her on skates?
Oh, yeah. But there are these two people that find each other,
yeah.
you know, and fall in love. And it's,
and
you
blossom.
Know, And that part of it is really quite lovely. I mean, what everybody remembers are the fight scenes and all that, which were really brilliantly staged. They were really, really good. But when you get to the heart of it, it's really a story of Rocky and Adrian, and it's told extremely well.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is that there were so many remakes that you lose those early... What the first movie was a love story built around boxing.
Right.
After that, it just kind of became more and more cartoonish.
Right.
Hey, listen, all success for the franchise. And by the way, speaking of Goosebumps scenes, one-arm push-ups to Gotta Fly Now, the run through town and then up the steps, that's, to me, that's the first time he's gasping.
The training montage.
And he can't make it, and he can't make it, right? And then you see him running, honestly, I mean, it's nicely edited, but he ran more miles than a Kenyan marathoner.
Yes.
And then he goes up the steps the second time and jumps around, which has become a thing.
Yeah.
That is now the most visited tourist destination in Philadelphia, more than the Liberty Bell.
Yeah, that was one of the other things I whispered to that guy in Chicago, was when he was running, and he was running from the Schuylkill River, from Kelly Drive to the... Right. And I said, no, he couldn't do that.
Right.
So those are like on opposite ends of the city.
He covered about 100 miles that day, but that's why he was winded when he got to the steps. And then the last criteria we had is it has to be realistic, but not too much. It has to allow us to dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it really hit that. Rocky was plausible to a point. It was based on Sylvester Stallone going to see
the closed circuit telecast back in the days when they still did that sort of thing, of Muhammad Ali and Chuck Wepner. And Chuck Wepner was a very Rocky-like kind of character from Bayonne, New Jersey,
nickname?
As opposed to Philadelphia, Bayonne Bleeder. And it basically...
By the way, I'd go Italian Stallion before I'd want to be the Bayonne Bleeder.
and the fight basically kind of plays out very much the way the Rocky fight does. The difference being Wepner does not go the distance. Wepner takes it. I think he took it into the 15th round, but he did not finish.
Right, he didn't last, yeah.
But that's the only difference. And, you know, and Wepner was like a ranked contender, not a primo contender, but, I mean, he was a top 10 fighter. He wasn't the complete nobody that Rocky was.
But didn't look like one.
No. No, and wasn't particularly skilled, but he had fought some name fighters, so he was ranked. Whereas Rocky was just a club fighter that they pulled out of the ozone. But the fight itself and the story itself is beautifully told, and then it winds up winning the Oscar in a field of great films. I mean, it beats out some really great films, which a lot of people in Hollywood are still arguing about. But you know, I had no problem with that being the choice. I'll admit I was home rooting for it myself.
Yeah, I think it was great. By the way, I read the other day that there is now, kind of in honor of the 45 years, a new travel and entertainment app here called Bounce. Oh, that I guess that is the app. They're going to unveil the Rocky Tour Experience tomorrow. And it will allow fans, locals, tourists to go on a tour of more than 15 Rocky filming locations. Among the notable landmarks on the tour, the Philadelphia Museum of Art, the adjacent Rocky statue, Independence Hall, the Italian Market. At each stop along the tour, fans will be able to watch a movie clip that was filmed at that exact location. Participants will also get to listen to the film. You know what? As many times as I've seen that movie, and it's probably 50.
Mm-hmm.
In all or in part, I would do that. That would be a fun thing.
Sure, sure.
Well, there you go.
Well, even though they say the fight, and I guess most people know this by now, but they and the fight in the film, they talk about it being the Philadelphia Spectrum. They say the fight was in the Spectrum, and it was not.
That was in L.A.
And it wasn't even in the Forum. It wasn't even in the big arena. It was in what was called the L.A. Sports Arena, which is the secondary arena where the Clippers used to play right there off the USC campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all right. It's enough of it filmed here. It works. Well, I didn't feel cheated.
Yeah, but the irony of it was Rocky was such a shoestring operation when the movie was being filmed, and it was filmed with no budget on a real tight schedule.
18 days, $2.1 million.
Yeah, I mean, it was on a real tight schedule. They didn't have much money to spend. They contacted the Spectrum and wanted to film it in the Spectrum. And the Spectrum said, "Who are you guys? No, we're not. You're not filming it here." So that's why they had to find another arena. They went to the L.A. Sports Arena, which hosted a lot of those kinds of events.
All right, Ray, here's the last question before we go to the callers. 215-592-9494. Highest paid actor in the movie was, or actress?
I'm guessing it was probably Burgess Meredith.
Burt Young.
Really?
Yes. Burt Young.
No kidding.
Go figure.
Because Burgess Meredith was a pretty well-known actor. In fact,
he was the Joker.
Yeah, and also back Ridley. In his younger days was an Oscar nominee.
I'm sorry. He was the Penguin.
Right.
Shame on me. He was the Penguin.
Right.
Yeah, well, I knew he was there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. Robert in Germantown is on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All
good
right.
To catch up with you. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm afraid I agree with Ray. I think you want the offensive line to really warm up with relatively sure things with the running attack, then bring Saunders in.
Boy, you watched Miles Sanders over the last couple of years, right? You do recall that he is one of the better long-threat breakaway runners in the NFL, right? You do remember that.
I do, but
okay.
You want the offense, you want this line to get motivated, get excited, have some success.
Okay, I didn't know that they would lose the enthusiasm if the best runner on the team plays in the game.
Yeah, if he does some bouncing around and he gets a couple of losses, I think that sort of starts deflating the offense.
All right. You don't want me to play that 75-yard touchdown again, right?
Well, that was a rare thing. Overall, but I'll take it. I'm with Ray on this one. A little later on. But here's the point I want to make. I was reviewing the quarterback situation. I mean, one of the things I keep hearing in this station is Jalen Hurts the guy? Look, I checked out the Super Bowl, and my earliest memory is I watched Super Bowl I, and 17 guys I counted are in the Hall of Fame, and maybe Mahomes will get there, and maybe Drew Brees will get there eventually. But 17 Hall of Fame quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl or been in it. Sometimes they've won more than once, like Terry Bradshaw and so on. Mm-hmm. But here's the point. A lot more people that were never going to go to the Hall of Fame have been in and won the Super Bowl. For example, Ron Jaworski-Jaws and McNabb.
Well, he didn't win it, but okay, yeah.
No, he was in it. Ferragamo, okay. Some of the guys who won, Plunkett, Theismann, Jim McMahon, Sims, Williams, Hostetler.
Yeah.
Ripien, Dilfer.
Yeah, you don't need to give me all of them. We can end with Nick Foles, and I hear that, but
Nick Foles.
Okay.
They had an identity. I was in Chicago when the Bears won, and you know their identity. They had two things going with McMahon. They had a killer defense, right, and they had a running attack.
Yeah, you know, but the Eagles don't have. Well, they do have the running attack now. I don't know about the killer defense right now.
Well, next year in the draft, my opinion. They've got to pick a lot of stud defensive players. I like the Dawkins on your show. Well, I don't know if you guys interview him or who did, but Daryl, Brian Dawkins, he made the great point of describing linebackers as people who hunt. I love that expression.
Yeah.
That's what linebackers should do.
Yeah, hey, listen, you're talking to two guys who would, and thanks for the call, would love to see the Eagles go their way. I love how he fished for Dawkins' name by going through every other athlete in Philadelphia named Dawkins.
Every other Dawkins.
And we've had a few of them.
Yeah.
All right.
I would say he's number one, though.
I think he's the one in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just do our weekly review of Jalen Hurts, and we aim not to obsess about him in this show.
Right.
But I'm currently of the mind, subject to change, of this. I have no interest or reason to believe that the Eagles are going to go out in the offseason and get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
No.
They are not built yet to win, so you're wasting that. I don't think either of those quarterbacks has any interest in coming here.
Right.
And you're taking on a massive contract and will have to give up resources to do it.
Correct.
Okay. So
I'm assuming your Deshaun Watson is in the same –
in a whole different category because unless things turn around there and it's like, oh, no, he didn't do these things, I don't think you can bring him in.
Yeah, and he also has in his contract a right to decline
a
trade, and he's not going to come to Philadelphia.
Good. Well, that's fine. I'm not interested in him for myriad reasons. Okay, so then the question is, okay, well, then do you draft? You have these three first-round picks. Are we going to parlay this into it? I don't see the guy in this year, I don't see the Peyton Manning in this year's draft. I don't see Joe Burrow. I don't see the
Justin Herbert even.
I don't see the Justin Herbert, right. I don't see the guy that's like, clearly this is guy who projects to be a franchise quarterback. They don't always work. There have been some bad quarterbacks taken with the one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus Russell probably being the worst, or Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, being probably the worst. But there are a lot of Hall of Famers who went number one as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see that guy, in fact, in our conversations. Sounds like you and I don't even see a quarterback worth taking the top half of the first round.
I do not.
Okay. That being the case,
somebody will, just because quarterbacks always do.
Sure.
But there's nobody that I right now have graded as a top 16 pick.
Okay, so I don't want to be desperate and take one just because I think I need one. My strategy right now is I see things that I like out of Jalen Hurts. I see things that I'm not sold on with Jalen Hurts. But with no other alternative, and my team, listen, they may make the playoffs this year. We can talk about that later. But if they do, it's because there's 14 teams in the playoffs and a lot of mediocre teams. They're not a playoff team the way I look at what's a playoff team.
Right.
Would love him to do it, but that's not my biggest concern. I think you're a rebuilding team, and if he's my quarterback for one more year and I get another year to see if he's the guy and see what else is out there, that seems the strategy to me. Maybe you see it a different way.
No, pretty much with you. I mean, I think you have seen the last 3 weeks now that the coaching staff has redesigned the offense and made him a part of a complete offense as opposed to the entire offense or 85% of the offense, which it was earlier this year to a ridiculous degree, I thought. You know, now you've got the offensive line is performing well. You've got a really good running game. Devontae Smith is really starting to hit his stride. And so now Jalen Hurts just has to kind of come in and execute, you know. And what you're seeing is when you put him in that kind of an offense where he can have true play action capability, where the running game is a big part of the offense, and the defense has to play the threat of the running game, and he can fake the handoff and drop back. You see that open space that it's created. And all of a sudden, you know, he can now become kind of a pocket quarterback. He doesn't have to be a sprint-out, roll-out guy all the time. And you're seeing some – and he's developing a little bit more consistency in his passing game. He's becoming a more accurate thrower because he's throwing with better fundamentals. I mean, in the, during these 3 weeks now, when the Eagles have run the ball so well, his completion percentage has climbed from 61% to almost 68% just in 3 weeks. So that's the kind of improvement we're talking about. I always said that the one thing he really needed to work on was his passing accuracy. And you're seeing now in the last few weeks, he's becoming more accurate by the week. So, I mean, let's, you know, we've still got weeks to go in the season. There's a lot of games to be played. And let's just let it play out. You know, let's, you know, I don't think anybody's calling for Gardner Minshew right now, nor should they.
Thank goodness.
But let's let this thing play out. Give him the rest of the season. See where the team is at the end of the season and see where he is. And then you can start mapping out the future.
Agreed. Andy in Bucks County is with us. Good morning, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was living in Syracuse, New York. I think I'm a year younger than you are, Glenn. I'd come home from school. I'd watch the Mike Douglas show at 5 o'clock every night while my mom made dinner. So I'm watching the Mike Douglas show, and he says, my next guest, you don't know, but in the next 6 months, he will be as famous as Paul Newman.
Wow.
He wrote and is starring in a new movie that was filmed here in Philadelphia, and it's called Rocky. Now, as he's describing it, I thought, well, that's a neat story about a guy who, and he tells the story that that Stallone insisted that he be the star of the movie, turned down a lot of money to give somebody else.
Yes, he did.
But he, you know, when they called it Rocky, I thought, oh, Rocky, come on. I mean, there's Rocky Marciano, there's Rocky Graciano. There's nothing original about this. And I really kind of blew it off. But as they told the story and they brought him out, I thought, well, maybe I'll go see it. So I took my girlfriend to the movies, senior year of high school, and saw it and just was blown away by it. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but ended up moving to Philadelphia in part because I fell in love with Philadelphia watching the movie. Anyway, that's one thing. Second thing, last week I went to school in Indiana, and I went to see my fraternity brothers, and they took me to the Colts game last week. And I saw Carson Wentz play in person, you know, good seats, great stadium. And I'm watching the game, and this is before the Eagles are playing, right? The early game. And as I'm watching Wentz, I'm thinking to myself, gosh, he does the same stuff that he did here. He gets hit too often. He holds the ball too long. He seems to check into the wrong play. At one point, he threw a left-handed pass as he was being tackled.
Yeah, saw that one.
Same old stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm glad I have Jalen Hurts. I'd rather have Jalen Hurts at this point than watching this guy again. So that was my observation from last
week. I hear it. Hey, really, I love the story about you seeing Rocky in Syracuse and deciding
and moving to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's great. Good stuff, Andy. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, Wentz had a bad game that game, and everybody saw that dumb interception. He's also had some pretty good games this year. I don't think any of us wants him back. We just got so weary of it. But you think Frank Reich is unhappy now?
No. I mean, do you know his touchdown interception ratio?
Go ahead.
17-3.
That's pretty good.
I mean, the end of that game was about as ugly as it gets. Andy, the caller, mentions that he still does hold the ball a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I don't know if he's ever going to shed that habit. But I mean, it's, you know, that's the way he's always played. It's the way he played in college. Kind of thought he might phase out of it or get coached out of it, but it looks like that's just what he is.
No, but he's having a pretty good year, and I think I saw three more games. If he makes it through three more games, Eagles are guaranteed that pick.
Yeah, and they're playing for the playoffs, so they're not considering a change.
No.
And frankly, the way he's playing, you wouldn't even consider a change.
I don't think they were ever going to consider a change unless absolute dire circumstance. They don't have a backup. It's not like that. We're going to put him down to check out the rookie.
No,
he's going to get it. Eagles are going to get that pick. Three first-round draft picks, Ray. Middle linebacker, weak side linebacker, strong side linebacker. The MacNow plan is in force.
Oh, I want a pass rusher.
Well,
I want a pass rusher, I want a corner, and I'll take a linebacker. That's my shopping list.
Yours isn't bad, Ray, but mine has a theme.
Yeah, linebackers.
Yes, there you go. They don't have a lot of those. 215-592-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn MacNow. Hey, brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. Watch and wager on All-Pro and College Sports at the Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play.
Well, the holiday shopping season is here, in case you hadn't noticed, and our friends at Scheib Sports are taking 25% off everything on Black Friday weekend. So if you want the perfect gift for the sports fan on your list, support a local business, and do so at tremendous savings, all those are good things, then Scheib is where you want to go. If you'd prefer to shop from the couch, you can do that too. Everything's also 25% off online at scheibsports.com. Great local apparel, and I might add signed copies of my latest book, Finish Business. It's there, too. You go to Scheib at 13th and Walnut, the main showroom, or scheibsports.com, and be sure to tell them that Ray sent you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, what we're watching is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay it off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com. Well, Ray, I have not had a lot of time to do TV viewing over the last weeks. As you know, I'm involved in this play, which opens up this, Friday, Ray, 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm a little nervous.
Okay. No, you shouldn't be. I've seen the photographs. You look very much in character.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking in those photographs, am I?
No, you're not.
I think I told you off the air, I have the first line in the play.
Mm-hmm.
If I screw that up, we're off to a terrible start.
No, you'll be fine.
Thank you. Anyway, but I am trying to keep up. Three of my all-time favorite shows are back on the air. Now, normally for what we're watching, I try to give you something new that nobody's ever seen and so on. I'm not doing that today. I'm talking about three shows that are back. The first one, even you, I believe, have seen some of this. Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Just very little bits of it.
Season 11. Yeah, I you don't like Seinfeld, so I don't imagine you would ever like
it. Right,
I
kind of didn't get it, but yeah. I understand.
It's as funny as ever. It's got a great cast this season, all the regulars. The guests this year include Albert Brooks and John Hamm and Dylan O'Brien and Vince Vaughn and Patton Oswalt. He works them in as characters. Like Seinfeld, he can take the most mundane, trivial thing and make it identifiable and hysterical. There's an episode on hotel minibars, right? Like, who cares about hotel minibars? He makes it very funny. There's a hilarious scene. Yeah, give me the music there. Yeah, nice job. There's a hilarious scene on when you give a dinner party, who gets to sit in those middle seats, which is kind of appropriate for Thanksgiving. The argument being that the person who middles, who sits in one of the middle seats, can't be boring. Has to be interesting enough to advance the conversation.
Oh.
So, it's
I never thought about that, but that makes
sense. Oh, I always do that. Yeah. I always set out the seating chart. We have 20 at our house for Thanksgiving. I'm setting out the seating chart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have a whole philosophy of who gets to sit where based on the flow of the conversation.
Wow. And yeah. I always wondered why I always sat at the end. That's sort of explains a lot.
Ray, go over there. You know what? We got one other seat in the kitchen. Why don't you just go sit there with the dog?
The story of my life.
All right, give me one final blast of that music there, and I'll get to the next show. There it is. I love the music, man. When I hear that, that's good. All right, second show is an HBO show also with a great soundtrack, if Dan can pull that up. Secession. Season 3, I don't know if you've – I know you haven't seen it. Maybe you've seen – you get HBO. You could watch this show. Although you'd hate it. You'd hate this.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, it is a – oh, God, I'm going to say this, and you're going to hate it even more. It's a Shakespearean drama on the corrosive effect of extreme wealth. Ensemble casts don't get better. I would argue moving into season 3 – I think this is – so far, I've seen, I think, 4 episodes. Season 3, it's the best – and it is moving up there into West Wing, Sopranos, Breaking Bad territory for dramas.
Really?
Yeah, it's not quite, but I'm grading it at this point. It could be, if it stays good, one of the top 10 dramas ever. It's, yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Doesn't that sound like Evil Lurks?
Yeah, it does, kind of.
Wealth and Evil. It is funny, it is cruel, it is just reaching its peak. So many shows have one great season and then decline. This one's getting better. Brian Cox, you know, the not the linebacker, the actor.
Yes.
He's phenomenal in this. He's the patriarch. He's Rupert Murdoch.
Okay.
Okay. And he's great, and the rest of the cast is great, and they're all bad people that you root against, but it's a – I mean, The Sopranos, they were all bad people too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you liked that show.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. Well, I recommend that. Third show. Morning Show, Season 2, Apple TV+. By the way, you could get the first two shows, right? You get HBO.
I do.
Okay. I know you don't get Apple TV+. Morning Show is based on your basic Today Show, Good Morning America, all behind the scenes. And so, and you told me that a mutual friend of ours likes it a lot, right?
Michael Barkan loves it. Talks about it all the time. Said it's the most real depiction of behind-the-scenes television that he's ever seen, and he should certainly know because he's lived it.
Right. If anybody would know, it would be Michael. Interestingly, I looked this up last night. Currently in Season 2, the audiences love it more than the critics. It gets an 88% favorable listing from the audience, only 64% from the critics. The complaints are that there's too many performers. It gets a little sloppy, too many people to follow.
Uh-huh.
They should kind of narrow the focus a little, but I still think it's great. Here's your cast. Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, Reese Witherspoon, Billy Crudup. I think he's the one who won the Emmy for it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all great. It is behind-the-scenes stuff with all the backstabbing and the desperation for ratings and the egos of big-time TV. And I think one thing that it's done really well this year, this season starts New Year's Eve going into 2020. That's the first episode.
Okay.
They're there for the ball drop at Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
And over the episodes, they start to foreshadow COVID really cleverly. Like somebody sneezes. And it's like, oh, it's an innocent sneeze, except maybe it isn't. And then there's, hey, this story out of Wuhan, China. Should we cover it? Nah, let's stick with the birth of the royal baby. That's a more interesting story. Who cares about some disease off in China?
Right.
And they're like, well, 20 people now have it in the United States. What's the president going to do? And then one person gets sick. And it's they've done a really marvelous job because this is how we all felt, right?
Sure.
At the start of 2020, who knew, who thought? I didn't take it seriously. And then by March, all of a sudden, it took over the world.
Yeah.
And they have done that over, I've seen 8 episodes, and they are really doing that very well.
Good.
Great show. Again, Jennifer Aniston, who pretty much you knew for doing kind of light comedy, breezy
right.
stuff, She's really good as a dramatic actress. I've always loved Reese Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Carell is great. It's great.
Crudup's a really good actor. I've seen him. First time I ever saw him was when he played the rock singer in the movie Almost Famous.
Yeah,
which
right.
I liked a lot.
Yeah.
And then he plays Melvin Purvis, the FBI agent, which he was really good at. And then he played Steve Prefontaine, the great Olympic runner in the movie Without Limits that made our 100 book.
Yeah. Well, he's great in this. And, again, I don't expect you to watch it. But for our audience, start with season one of these shows. Well, you're not going to start with season one of Curb. But any of these shows, I highly recommend. All great. And you would enjoy. By the way, Ray, today you've got something going on.
I do. Right after we go off the air today at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be heading over to a very nice restaurant in Wilmington called Chalene's on West 14th Street. And I'll be signing copies of my book, Finish Business, there. I'll be there from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock today. So if you want to get an early start on your Christmas shopping, come by Chalene's in Wilmington. Grab yourself a burger. Grab yourself some Saturday brunch. Grab a book and I'll be happy to say hi.
Bangers and mash for you for lunch today?
No, I checked out their menu. I saw the picture of their burger. It was sort of speaking to me. Yeah.
Speaking to you.
So I think that's the
Ray,
I think that's the direction
you
I'm
must
going.
Have me.
Okay, good. Chuck and Cherry Hill wants to talk about Miles Sanders. Who doesn't today? What's up, Chuck?
Hey guys, happy Saturday and
thank you,
happy
sir.
Weekend. Yeah, I just tripped across some stuff. I heard this all week long, and I thought, boy, I better dive in and do a little bit of research and see if I can make some sense. I got some compelling numbers, little statistical thesis to Sanders, if you will. Here we go. Aside from the fact career that he's 400 carries for 2,000 yards, 5.0 average, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, one of the best in the league over that time.
Yeah, best in the league. And then if you get into his history, you're going to start to say stuff like, he never did it. It's unbelievable. But anyway, be that as it may, let's move into the more difficult territory here. So far this year, top three defensive teams that we've played against, not necessarily obviously top three in the league, Dallas, Tampa, Carolina. He's 22 for 130 at the 6-point average. Go back to last year, a little more impressive than that, believe it or not. You got Pittsburgh, Ravens, Saints, 34 for 310. A gaudy 9.11 yards per carry.
Nice.
Put them together. He's 56 for 440 for 8 yards per carry against the toughest 6 defenses.
That's great. That's great stats. It's great stats. And the one. Well, hold on, because I don't want to turn it into a stat fest. Your point is made. That game against New Orleans last year, what was it, 15 carries for 114 yards, whatever it was, two touchdowns. And by the way, I'm going to throw in one stat, which is this. Do you know, because somebody tweeted me this, and I looked it up, and it's true, that Sanders, one quarter of his carries in his career were for losses? Oh, wait, that's Barry Sanders.
That's Barry Sanders. That's
breakaway Barry runners, you take that you take the minus with the plus because you get the plus.
Yeah, you're right. Guess what? He doesn't dance. I've heard this all week on every show. He doesn't dance. He's a straight ahead. Now, here's first down. First down career. 217 carries, 900 yards, over 4. Second down, he's 148 for 800.
Chuck, enough with the stats, but you made some very good points. And you too, I appreciate it.
Well, I disagree.
The man brought an encyclopedia with
him. He had a lot of numbers, but his statement about he doesn't dance is not true.
Yeah, he does. My eyes show me that he dances.
He does.
I'm not going to argue that.
That's his biggest drawback.
What do you take out of my brilliant Barry Sanders thing?
That's good.
Impressed by that?
I always thought that it was.
By the way, came from a listener.
Ah, okay. Well, one of the great ironies of Barry Sanders' career is he's one of the great runners of all time, without question. We had an event, the Otho Davis Dinner, this week, and we had a bunch of great players there, and the audience were able to do Q&A. And somebody asked Seth Joyner, who was the toughest guy he ever had to go against in terms of trying to tackle. And Seth said immediately, Barry Sanders.
Sure.
Because he was that elusive. But because he was so prone to negative yardage plays, the Lions used to take him off the field when they got in the red zone.
It's fine. I'd take Boston Scott at the 2-yard line.
But isn't that ironic? I mean, here's a guy who's...
Yeah, but I remember seeing it all the time.
Yeah, but...
He was more likely to score from his own 20 than the other team's 20.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's one of the all-time great backs, but when you get down at the 10-yard line, he comes off the field.
Yes. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back, don't forget, at noon. Tell us your story with Jim Gardner. We are very excited about that. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Show brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. We're here at the 1937 Brewing Company. Locally crafted IPA, stouts, lagers, and more right here at the 1937 Brewery inside Delaware Park, online at DelawarePark.com. All right, Ray, we're headed into Jim Gardner coming up in just a few minutes to tell us your story, and we had a blast doing it. Jim has been on the air in this state, in this town, for, what, 45 years?
45 years.
And almost never does interviews. We were really honored and flattered that he did it. I think it started because you asked him to come and do one of your Tommy and Me.
Which he agreed to do, and it was terrific at it.
Yeah, and so then... I think we can tell the story. We said, would you do a tell us your story? And he said, could you guys wait a couple of weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, he had a reason for that.
He said, he sent me an email and said, I know I agreed to this date. Could we put it off for a couple of weeks? I can't get into the reasons why. I just think it would be better.
Yeah.
And obviously, he knew.
We inferred what was going on.
Yes.
And then it occurred, and we were really honored that a guy who doesn't do interviews chose to sit down with us for an hour. And so that's coming up soon, and we think you're going to find a lot of compelling things in it about his reasons for deciding to retire. Well, he's not quite retiring, but slow it down at this point, about his childhood and growing up, about his career, about his great interaction with the second President Bush that he had, and just some really good stories, some about his colleagues. A lot of people want to know about, you know, the Jim O'Brien passing away in an accident in 1981. He talked about that. So stay tuned. That's coming up. But before that, Ray, in my hand is a folded piece of paper.
Oh.
Now, last week I picked the Eagles to lose. I was delighted to be wrong. I believe you picked them to win.
I did.
And so you are delighted to be right. I don't know how you picked this week. I didn't. You are on the morning show. I heard just a little bit of you.
Yes.
But here is my pick. This paper has the score.
Okay. Well, this is the biggest game of the year. It really is. This is the biggest game of the year. The Eagles. It was a big game in Denver last week, and they showed a lot in winning. But this is the biggest game, because this game will tell you if the rest of the season's. How much it's going to mean. I mean, if they win this game and then you look at the schedule that remains, the door really is open for them to possibly sneak their way into the playoffs, which very, very few people thought was a possibility. But if they win tomorrow, it becomes a possibility. Now, you also have to keep in mind what this game means to the other side, because one of the things we in Philadelphia always look at it from, what does this game mean to the Eagles? Well, just for a moment, think about what this game means for the Saints. They were 5-1. They've lost two games in a row. They're now 5-4. Their next two games after the Eagles are against Buffalo and Dallas. So I guarantee you, Sean Payton has been telling his players all week, we cannot afford to lose this game in Philadelphia. We cannot lose to a 4-6 team. So they're coming in here with every bit as much motivation as the Eagles have coming in. But I really like the way the Eagles are playing right now. I really like the way they're running the football. The offensive line is playing terrific. I think Jalen Hurts is growing week by week. I like what Jonathan Gannon has done defensively last week. I thought he stepped up what he needed to step up. They were able to cover better. They got more pressure on the quarterback. Once again, the Eagles are getting a little lucky. They're getting a backup quarterback, kind of the way they did with Teddy Bridgewater last week. You know, Trevor Siemian is Trevor Siemian. I mean, he's not Drew Brees, okay? And I think the big difference maker to me is no Alvin Kamara. I mean, he is the playmaker on that team. He's one of the best players in the league. I mean, over the last couple of years, there have been very few backs in football that have been as productive both running and catching the ball as Alvin Kamara. So playing with a backup quarterback, no Alvin Kamara. Both starting tackles are injured. The Saints are a wounded team right now. And even though they're good on the road, and even though Sean Payton is 7-3 lifetime against the Eagles, I'm taking the Eagles in this game. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be low scoring. Saints defense is very for real. They're good, and they're going to keep them in the game. That's their best way to win. But I think the Eagles are going to be able to chip away and get just enough points to win their first home game of the year. I'm saying 21-17.
I say.
And Glenn says, Wow, you're going Eagles too.
I am.
17-14.
And I only in the last day. I earlier in the week, if we had done this, I would have said I'm taking the Saints. They're just a better quality team. I think it's about the injuries. I really do. I think once Alvin Kamara's not playing, they've lost so many of their guys. I mean, Simeon's not the worst quarterback in the league. I'm not even a big Jameis Winston fan.
Right.
But Simeon's had a lot of chances in this league and never shown himself to be great. I like Taysom Hill as an alternative. He's not playing for them.
He's hurt.
Both tackles are hurt. I just don't, you know, I don't know what they have deep on their bench in offense. But
offensively, they're hurting. But defensively, they're good.
That's why I give it 17-14. You missed the last line of my thing.
Oh. I saw it. Sanders scores a touchdown.
That's what I say. All right, let's sneak in Dr. Mark Pollard, our friend from Cooper Bone and Joint, who is with us. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're all right, and we're sorry to get you on so late because we just have a minute or two, but we wanted to ask you something. I'm assuming you watched the Eagles game last week and saw Dallas Goedert get clobbered in the head with a forearm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it did not result in a penalty. I think that, by the way, it was a shoulder that hit him, I should say it correctly. It did not get a penalty, and that really irritated a lot of people here. And I guess my question for you, having seen it, is if it's not going to be a penalty and it's going to be allowed procedure in the NFL for guys to hit each other in the head, what's going to happen to these guys when they're 50 years old?
Well, you know, it's difficult to look in the crystal ball and, you know, tell exactly what is happening. And, you know, as it's clear, you know, as time goes on, we're learning more and more about head injuries and concussions and so forth. Certainly, we're more sensitive to it and no more now than we did even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or something like that. And, you know, for better or worse, you know, the football is a game and the rules, I think we've talked about this before, but essentially it benefits the ones who hit the hardest. And, you know, again, for better or worse, that gives, you know, there's some advantage to that, whether it's popping the ball loose or something like that. You'd hate to think that there's, you know, some kind of strategy and planning and to try to, you know, injuring other people or knocking them out of the games. And, you know, getting back to the question as far as what the long-term implications are, it seems certainly, you know, head injuries and concussions are not good things. And, you know, as time goes on, we're learning that there's more and more potential bad things that happen to people. You know, they haven't really established a link necessarily between things like ALS and things like that, but certainly the traumatic encephalopathy, you know.
Yep, we've seen it. And I would just say this to wrap. The NHL, after you remember the Lindros getting hit by Scott Stevens play.
Sure.
A legendary play. It was not even a penalty because he hit him with his shoulder. The NHL decided after that, all right, no more hits to the head. Mm-hmm. That's the rule. We don't care what part of the body you hit with no hits to the head. And I thought the NFL had that rule. Apparently they don't. Dr. Pollard, we got to rush, but we always appreciate your expertise.
Oh, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you very much. All right, Ray?
Yes.
We got to give out some prizes before we turn it over to Jim Gardner at noon.
Okay.
The Scheib Sports $50 gift certificate. I love Chris from West Oak Lane. I think he was our first caller.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I were disagreeing on Miles Sanders, he kind of found a middle ground that we both kind of could live with.
Yes, he did.
All right, Chris from West Oak Lane, congratulations. You win that. Tickets to see Anything Goes at the Swarthmore Players Club. For tickets, go to pcstheater.com. I'll be in it, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing Like a Fool. Andy in Bucks County is the guy who moved here from Syracuse.
Yeah, I love this.
When he saw Rocky.
I love this.
He wins, right?
Absolutely.
All right,
hands down.
Congratulations to him. All right, stay tuned coming up. Tell us your story with the great Jim Gardner, Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP. Brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports at the Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play.
The holidays.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.